That you need, and I would like to start with Mr. Key, please, to provide you the first presentation on behalf of the applicant.
Good evening. I'm Frank Key with Solutions here in Georgetown. Kind of an overview of the project. It's a simple AR1 cluster of 100 lots. The plan will feature streets with curb and gutter, sidewalks on both sides that are connected to the DelDOT multimodal system, landscape buffers, street lights, a 50-foot buffer now from the existing rapid infiltration basins where in the past there was not. And as far as it being a cluster, it yields open space that the previously approved 70 lots didn't have. In fact, depending on how you calculate it, whether you count the ribs or not, without the ribs, there's 40% open space now, or 24 acres of open space in the community, whereas before there was not. Additionally, as a comparison, the buffers that I mentioned, as you can see, there was an existing 30-foot buffer on the back of the lots behind the existing Stonewater Creek lots. We've added an additional 30-foot buffer on the Phase 7 side that is a minimum 30 feet, and it gets larger in some places. So in fact, today, as proposed, there would be a 60-foot minimum buffer between the Phase 7 and the remainder of the community. Another important point here is, though, we are proposing an additional 30 lots in this phase. Originally, when Stonewater Creek was approved, it was approved with 708 homes. Over time, a couple of things have happened. Primarily, it was that certain phases across Route 5 of Stonewater Creek were taken out of Stonewater Creek and made a part of Pelican Point. So the resulting number of homes with the 30 additional lots in Stonewater Creek, if approved, would be 571. In other words, there are 137 less homes in the community as a whole, including the additional 30 lots. So there's quite a distinction there. And it's not that those homes aren't being built. They're being built in Pelican Point. But in Pelican Point, they have their own amenities, their own clubhouse, and so forth. So again, even with the additional 30 lots, there are 137 less homes than originally approved. As far as the configuration of the land plan, you'll notice that there are no lots in wetlands. In fact, there are no lots that even touch upon wetlands, where the previously approved 70 lots did abut wetlands. There's more preservation of existing trees. Again, there's 40% open space. There's a cemetery on the site that is preserved in place with access to it. As far as interconnectivity is concerned, as you can see, it is interconnected with the remainder of the community, but it also provides what I believe is a desirable second entrance into the community opposite Cannon Road. So there will be two ways in and out of the community now where there's only one today. There is, of course, water available, sewer. That section is right next to the sewer treatment plant, which is the rectangle of dark green in the picture there to the left of the picture. There's gas available, and then there will, of course, be landscaping in the neighborhood as well. As far as property values are concerned, we anticipate that there will be no effect on property value, if anything, an upward effect. And I base that on experience as a developer, but as well as just checking Realtor.com. If you look on Realtor.com and you look at the range of pricing available in Stonewater Creek, it runs from 279 to 382. If you look at Pelican Point, which is a similar configuration with similar lot sizes, in fact, the same lot sizes, the prices currently range from $319,000 to $374,000, as shown in Realtor.com. So for all practical purposes, they're the same size houses, the same property values. In fact, in this market today, we find that small lots and larger lots, at least 20,000 square foot lots, there's no appreciable difference in the lot home price. And that pretty much sums up my part. At this point, I'd like to turn it over to my partner, Jason Falkowitz, who will talk about subdivision ordinance and other things. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Key.
Good evening. I'm Jason Palkowitz with Solutions IPM here in Georgetown. And a couple things that Frank touched on was, not spend a ton of time on it, but take a quick look at the old. This is what is currently approved and is actually currently still active. In the wetlands line, all these lots here are all directly against the wetlands, and there's very little open space, very little buffers. With the new plan, none of the lots are adjacent to the wetlands. There's some that get close to the layout, but you know, most are 20 to 50 feet away, which is a lot more than zero. And like Frank said, there's a lot more buffers, a lot more open space. There's interconnectivity with the open space with these little tie-ins to it. So it's not just blocked off open space that you can't get to and can't see. But I'd like to touch base real briefly on PLUS. We met with PLUS in February of 2017, and as a result of that, we ended up meeting with the planning and zoning staff to go over the project. And from that meeting, we ended up pulling the lots even further back from the wetlands. We improved the PLUS plan by pulling them further back. We increased the buffer. It was 20 when we submitted the PLUS. We made it 30. That gives you the 60 feet between the two, well, the same communities, but between the larger lots and the smaller lots. And then as a result of that, the open space increased. In addition to meeting with the staff, we received their comment letter, and addressed their comments and resubmitted back. And then I'd like to touch base on the Ordinance 99, which Frank touched on a lot. And it's in the booklet from pages 6 to 10. There's a lot of it there. I'm just going to touch on some highlights. One that we already talked about, there's going to be no disturbance of wetlands. And in this plan, we actually save an additional 5 acres of upland forest compared to the previously approved plan, or the currently approved plan, excuse me. All of the lots are outside of flood zones. None are located within. There's 40% open space provided. That does not include the wastewater treatment facility or the disposal area in that percentage. And we have additional ponds. For having less roads, we actually have less lot acreage too, hence we have more open space. But we have more area for stormwater management, which is also an improvement. And furthermore, the roads are going to be designed per the current road standards, so we're going to have, you know, closed drainage systems, curb and gutter, sidewalks, all of, you know, have to do the grading plans for the lots, the whole thing. And I think that's about it.
If I could get you, Janelle, to just go back to the previously approved phase 7. Thank you. As you can see, this is essentially the same plan we're proposing now as was proposed and approved earlier in 2008. The difference being that by complying with the cluster ordinance, we are able to give a superior design to this particular project, which would include the increase of the open space to 40.5%. The superior design and the use of the application of the cluster ordinance was not available to the developers at the time this project was originally approved. It is now later on available to them. And by doing that, and with the application of the ordinance, the density still is not at 2.0 units per acre. The density of this proposed project is 1.66 dwelling units. So that's, I can't do the math real well, but I believe that's about a 20% less than what would be available under normal circumstances. As you are aware, there are covenants and conditions and restrictions which have been previously approved for the Stonewater project that would remain in effect for this particular portion of the project. If you look at this project as we propose it today, and Janelle, if I could get you to go back to the cover, we're really looking at a reconfiguration with greater open space and a protection of forested buffers. We all four, including Mr. Mitchell, are available to answer any questions that you may have about this project.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Trader. We'll start with Mr. Hopkins.
So you, by making this change, you're increasing the open space from to 40% from what?
It was 20.
Well, it went from it went from 11 acres.
It doubled it.
Yeah, to 24. So it's actually more than doubled. We gained 13 acres of open space.
On a total of 60.
Correct.
And again, that doesn't include the wastewater treatment area?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, to clarify, the open space area is not included in the open space, in the ridge or the wastewater treatment. So.
That, right.
So that's, and you say that you're asking. The 571 lot number, is that where you originally would have been, or is that where you propose being? I think Mr. Key referenced 571. Was that the original? Because, and then he said there's 137 less, even if you add the additional 30 you're trying to get onto what currently is 70.
571 is what we're currently proposing.
Okay, so originally, in the very back when it was originally subdivided, there must have been 571 plus 137.
Correct.
Correct. 700. Okay. So from the original plan was 700, and you're, by getting the additional 30. You're still 137 down.
Correct.
And I understand, Mr. Key said some of that went over to Pelican.
Yes.
But the folks that purchased in this site, because you got Route 5 dividing the two, you're proposing 137 less than original. Is that right?
Yes, it was originally included in the original Stillwater Creek approvals.
I just want to make sure I got my number straight. The Route 5 entrance was part of the original design, the second Route 5 entrance?
It's currently approved, yes. 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 The old plan shows that. Right over here. It lines up with Cannon Road.
So do you think, does the state have any plans to put lights at either one of those intersections?
Not that I'm aware of. It wasn't part of the traffic impact studies or anything. Like that entrance is actually approved and under construction for the 100 homes.
I don't think I have any other questions.
Okay. Mrs. Hoey-Stevenson.
In the total package, including the other neighborhood part that's already developed, are there any amenities?
Yes. There are recreational amenities that are included in the earlier phases of Stillwater Creek.
And these people would have access to those?
They would have access to it. When the covenants were put on the project originally, it contemplated that the project would expand and provided for the addition of these lands, the expansion, and for these people, the project in phase 7, to be able to use the recreational amenities that are currently in existence.
If you care to look, I can show you where they are.
Okay.
There's a pool clubhouse right here. This green is where we're talking today.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the existing recreation facility.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I have no other questions at this time.
Mr. Hudson.
No questions. Thanks.
Just a couple questions. I may have missed it, but you're proposing sidewalks on one side or both sides? And the number of lots that have been sold in the other phases, how many, how much
there's
is
about, I believe there's, I mean, in Stillwater Creek.
Roughly.
Yeah, there's about, I think there's about 65 left back in phase six. So about 400 have been sold, and I can show that where we're talking there. Actually, I should say they're left in phase five. I've been working on, just as a side note, I've been working on Stillwater Creek since 2000.
So. Right. So this is a full-time job. That's correct.
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah. Good for you.
Another 10, 20 years, my kids will be through college.
Okay, that's good. That picture there.
Right in here. That's what.
And this is left. Only the third time for me.
Really?
So this is what's remaining. That there may be a couple lots up in here.
Right.
But
gotcha.
The sales of, you know, and then across the street, this area was from earlier this year, but they've already started building across the street.
And where did the lots that Pelican Creek or Pelican Point absorbed, where did they disappear from?
They disappeared from part of this yellow area.
So the homes and the lots went to the homes and the land went together, right?
There you go.
Repeat that, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. I had a question after you, but go ahead, Mr.
Go ahead, fire.
I'm just trying to get the numbers right. So, because there's two ways of looking at it. There's numbers of houses within Stillwater Creek on the one side of Route 5, and we can say, well, that number got reduced because it lost houses. What between Pelican Point and Stillwater, what's the total number of houses?
Yeah.
About 1,000?
443. Sir, if you don't mind, just...
I'm sorry.
It's nothing, but we need to make sure we have names and recognize the voices. So
I'm Randy Mitchell. I'm one of the owners.
Right. Okay. So how many houses are on the Stillwater Creek side of Route 5 about now with that being approved, with what's approved there now?
Probably 530-some.
Okay. And how many are on the Pelican Point side of?
443. I know that.
Okay.
Okay. And so the green... This was all from the same landowner, but basically from here, and here, all the green, that was bought from the same landowner,
right.
Walt Wagner, who's passed, and his sister Karen.
Can you get back to the mic, please?
Yeah, microphone.
And that was all part of Stillwater Creek. So there was no Pelican Point
right.
at that point. It was just all going to be on two sides.
Right.
And then we were able to buy more land next to that, which is in the yellow. And we decided to create two separate subdivisions, and we used Route 5 as the dividing point. And the county actually urged us to do it. It got very confusing at one point. So
there was talk about the amenities being split by the road.
Yeah,
and
so in the green parcel and the two yellows, it was a total of 172 acres. And we just decided to make two separate subdivisions out of it. And so Stillwater Creek went from 700 and some lots down to the 540. And Pelican Point has grown, and it's 443. But I also wanted to make a distinction when we created both subdivisions. In their homeowners, we have always had the ability to add more. So if anybody's to get up and say, well, I only thought we were only going to have 530 people and using my amenity, and they get up and go, well, you're adding 30 more. If they look through their documents, we were always allowed to add more and to contemplate adding more. And we have it in both. You know, we have other parcels that possibly could be added for Pelican Point. And so I just wanted to make that.
But again, getting back to the numbers, the net number of houses is, I guess, being increased by 30.
Right.
Is what we're talking
about. Yeah, because
about.
The land went where the houses
right.
is what
yeah.
happened. So
right.
And that's the point I was trying to get to.
Yeah.
I mean,
sorry, Mr. Ross. I was trying to run
that's
numbers.
Okay. We're on the same.
Instead of being 70, it's going to be 100.
Right.
Right.
Increases
so,
up 30
right.
units.
Right.
So, I mean, that you know, we're on the same page. You know, so it was a swap. The land went with the houses, so it's not really a total net reduction. You made a point, sir, though, about your HOA documents. And I want to make sure this is clear. Can you come back up, please? So when this was presented to the people that own lots and homes there, okay, so it was presented that this development, Stillwater Creek, was not set in stone,
no,
pardon the pun,
that's
okay?
Right. Yeah.
and that was clearly stated to the buyers and in the HOA docs?
Just so you know that I don't know, yes, that's what they got, and they received those documents, but I can't say what they were told by anyone because we didn't deal with the public. Sure. We sell lots to home builders.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. So read the fine print.
Yes.
I got you. Okay. And that was all my questions. You guys okay? Mrs. Walls, do you have any questions?
None for me. Thank you.
None, thank you.
None, thank you.
And you done?
No,
you hanging?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll come back to you later. You'll come up.
No, but that was a question I had, and you had the same one.
So I'm pretty good with math occasionally. Maybe not tonight. You never know. If you have a seat nearby, Mr. Schrader, we'll see if anyone has any interest in your application. Is there anyone here that has?
Can I just ask one question, just to follow up with Mr. Schrader on that math? But the flip side of it is, to your point, as far as the additional people using the amenities on the Stonewater Creek side of Route 5, that was reduced because some of the people were cut out of that development and became part of the other one.
Correct.
So that makes less people using what's on that one side.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and when you say the land went with the houses, did the land get reduced on the Stonewater?
Just now. Just went to Pelican Point. They just made it a separate subdivision. So
but it's the same number of houses. If you just ignore the land, there's 30 more houses out there on both sides of Route 5.
So if the land stayed the same, then there must be more open space or something. If there's 137 less houses in there.
No, there's not 137.
That's what I meant, yeah.
There's not 137 less houses. There.
It's the same.
On the Route 5 side.
No, they're saying no.
Has the land shrunk too?
Mm-hmm. No. There's the same number of houses on one side
on
Route 5 and on the other side of Route 5.
Complex issue.
Some of the houses on the opposite side of Route 5 from Stonewater Chase were originally part of Stonewater Chase. They took those out and made them part of Pelican Point. So the houses are physically there. They didn't move. They're just in one development, not the other anymore.
It's just how they were assigned.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So there is less land in Stonewater Creek than was
originally. Yeah, and there's less houses, and there's more land in Pelican Point, and more houses. And so, okay, the baby's split in half. We got it. Okay, we got to figure it out. You know, we know what's going on here, guys. We're good. Not our first rodeo. Okay, anyone that wants to speak in favor of subdivision 2017-11? In favor. Anyone like to speak in opposition to subdivision? We'll start over here with the blue, because if my vision is right, you're one row ahead, but maybe not. I'm sorry. We'll get back. We'll come back to you.
Yeah, my name is Bishop Nowotnik. I'm a new resident in Stonewater Creek. Moved in August. It's a beautiful place. Absolutely love it. But finding out about this was quite a surprise. One, the sign is about maybe this big, and it's posted on the entrance road to the new development rather than posting it where the residents are currently living or using, meaning the main entrance to Stonewater Creek. I would ask that be taken into consideration, because later on I'm going to ask you to continue this public hearing to give these people a chance to address some of the issues they have. I'm sorry. I'm coming in because, frankly, I feel I'm being a little bit bamboozled. I'm probably no different than the other 400 homeowners that live in Stonewater Creek now. I ask you to look at your own maps that you have on your website. They do represent, and I'd love to be able to see the other piece back if we can, because that'll help me. But I did my due diligence, and I realized that there was Pelican Point across the street, much smaller lot sizes, and Stonewater Creek on the other side of Route 5, which had 20,000 square foot lots, roughly speaking. That was the deal breaker for us. My wife and I looked at a lot of developments around here, and we looked at it and said, this is what we want to buy. I'm assuming that the other 400 homeowners that currently live there had similar types of thinking when they bought in Stonewater Creek. So I question, I can't remember who brought it up, but I think it was the designer, I'm not sure, the idea that this is not going to impact property values. I know my house. I know what I paid for my house. I live, by the way, on Helmsman Way, which is on the entire opposite side of where the development is. So I'm not really impacted by the development per se. But in the overall, I am. Putting a house on 8,500 square feet, take my house, put it over on 8,500 square feet, as opposed to the 21,000 square feet that I have currently, tell me how my property values are not going to be impacted by that. So I question that comment, and I would ask that the commission evaluate the impact on the 400 existing homeowners. By the way, I'm not opposed to the original approved development. I think that was a good deal. I think it's still a good deal. And I just wanted to make sure that was clear. I do have one other kind of convoluted issue, and I hope you follow me on this, because I'm going with the, my current property is 21,780 square feet. My house covers about 1,765 square feet of it. My driveway adds another 800 square feet of hard space. The rest of my property is basically lawn and is, in my mind, open space. You take that, and now the average lot size in the proposed development is 8,500 square feet, but the house is going to be about the same. I'm saying even if you reduce the house to 1,500 square feet, the driveways are much shorter, because instead of having a 30-foot setback in Stonewater Creek, you're going to have a 20-foot setback for the houses in this development. As a result, you're going to wind up, and I'm defining open space a little differently than you guys, and that's why I want you to look at the cluster concept. All right? If you did the math, you would find out that those 70 lots leave you with a net of 30 acres, or the equivalent of 30 acres of grass, lawn, etc. Not covered by a house, not covered by a driveway, not covered by a sidewalk. If you look at the cluster development and you did the math, you'd find out that you only had 15 acres of open space. Okay, and that is the space that is not covered by the sidewalk, the driveways, and the houses. So I would tell you that whoever developed this concept of the cluster ignored the fact that most people's yards are in fact open space. Most people's yards are allowing for drainage. Most people's yards have trees and bushes and everything else that are helping nature. So I'm looking at it, and I'm just taking from the page, the March 22 letter from the state. And even the state is telling you, and I want to quote, because the development is inconsistent with the strategies for state policies and spending, the state is opposed to this proposed subdivision. Now, I understand that it's been approved in its original concept. The state is saying to you, they're not going to support this extra density. They're not going to support it with additional funds for whatever it is, be it you require roads. I heard something about street light or street improvements. The state is telling you that already. Why are you going to create a problem by allowing this to go forward? And lastly, there's a whole bunch of environmental stuff in here. I won't bore you with it and everything else. But help me understand. On the environmental side, you have 70 families under the original proposal. On the environmental side, you now have 100 families in the new proposal. Typically, you have two cars. Almost everybody down here has two cars. So now you're going to go from the equivalent of 140 cars to 200 cars. Now you're going to impact perhaps, and I just say perhaps, you're going to impact your schools because you're going to have 30 more houses. All of that extra traffic is going to go out onto Route 5. And the state is telling you, we're not going to support you with additional infrastructure. So how is that going to help the environment? Again, I think that's about all I've got. And I thank you for listening. Once again, I just want to ask you to continue this public hearing in spite of what might transpire after me, because there really hasn't been enough time and enough notice. More than half of our development is totally clueless as to what's going on. And I would tend to think that, by the way, that was one other thing, I'm sorry. The developer never really provided any notice to the entire development. The developer, as I understand, sent notices to the 200-foot, within 200 feet. Well, most of the Stonewater Creek lots that border the subdivision are about 200 feet deep. So the only people that actually got notices were the people that are immediately adjacent to the proposed development. And I would ask that the commission reevaluate its thinking when it comes to subdivisions and developments. The entire development should be notified if, in fact, a change is going to be made within their development. After all, we're all neighbors. Again, I thank you very much.
Thank you. Who's next? Sir? While you're walking up, Ms. Cornwell, just to verify, the public hearing was properly noticed and advertised?
It was properly noticed and advertised per the state regulations.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Richard Crisci, Sr., C-R-I-S-C-I. I live at 24906 Rivers Edge Road in Stonewater Creek. I would have to agree with what Mr. Nowick had just said. You know, my wife and I, we come down here, and if you look at the, well, it's gone now, but if you look at the existing community and those lots that are bordering the new 60-foot buffer, the original proposal was 30. But if you look at those lots, they're pretty good-sized lots. And that was one of the calling cards when we bought into this community, is that we wanted a little open space. If I wanted to live someplace like Pelican Point, where people are living on top of each other, and I can sit on my back deck and smell my neighbor, I'd have waited and bought over there. We bought in here because we wanted a little bit of elbow room in between us. That was important. That contributes to our quality of life. And here we are. I got there in 2010. And here we are almost near the end of the project, and we're making a proposal to change the rules. You know, the original proposal was there. I have to beg to differ with the developer because he wasn't at the... Nobody from the developer side sat with me with Kehavanian. They never told me that, oh, they got the right to change whatever they... we weren't told that. It's no fault of Kehavanian or the developer, but, you know, it's just something that kind of fell through the cracks. So, yeah, a lot of us were in the dark with that. That would probably be one of the questions that we would have asked. And that didn't happen. We weren't told. The other thing is, on my street, most of the people have gone back to their families to be with their children and grandchildren for the holiday. They couldn't be here tonight, or there'd probably be half a dozen more people here. So I would agree if you can, you know, look at it. You want to hear more feedback from the people in Stonewater Creek. We bought into that community because we wanted big yards. We wanted some elbow room, and that's what most of us are upset about. That, you know, again, I kind of feel that's going to appreciate the value of my home, and I'm on the back side of it. I'm there. I'm right on the corner. So, you know, with that, I would ask the board to panel here.
Mr. Krige, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Do you think Pelican Point the negatively impacts your property value?
Oh, no, not at all. They're across the street. And this proposal, that fits in perfectly across the street in Pelican Point. You got to excuse the hands. I'm attacking.
It's all right. So I'm knocking my mic, too. We're good. Yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't impact. That's a separate entity over here. And we're all different. Some people like to move into a community where you're kind of close and on top of each other. Others don't. I, like I said, I come off a farm. I want my elbow room. I think what they're proposing now would be much better suited across the street in Pelican Point because it doesn't conform with the rest of Stonewater Creek. Mm-hmm. We don't have sidewalks over there.
Can you point out, you say you're adjacent to the application. Can you point out where you are?
I think this is me right here. I'm on this corner, and so all of this looks like it was the original proposal here. Because there's two lots, building lots here with a new one. These two are gone, and
I got you.
We're right on that corner.
Okay.
And like I said, we put sidewalks and stuff. We don't have sidewalks in our community. Personally, I don't want them.
A lot of people don't.
We got to take care of them.
Yeah, you know? I got it. Some people love them, though, you know? I mean, that's what it is.
Listen, but our streets are quiet. It's a good bicycle trail. Just ride around the community if you want to run, walk. like I said, some people want the sidewalks. But thank you for your time and for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Krige. Thank you. Yes, sir. Right up here up front.
My name is Mike Vitiello. I live on 25700 Saltwater Creek, which is on Stonewater. I have a couple questions about the fuzzy mat that we were exposed to. This new section was supposed to have 70 lots, and now we said it's going to be 100, and maybe 120, I heard.
No, 100.
No, just 100.
Okay. But I heard 120, I don't know what that was about. So anyway, it's 30 more right there. Now, on the other side, Pelican's Point was changed from Stonewater Creek to a cluster. So that's, I would guess, at least 30 more that were before. So we're talking about, from the population, 30 more here, 30 more there. So that's 60 more houses that were not there when the initial Stonewater Creek plan was proposed and for which you made decision. Now you have 60 more houses that are going to buy groceries, shopping. Is this being accounted anywhere? You know, you have 30 here, 30 there. Pretty soon you have a lot of people going there. And Rich said it doesn't affect our property value. But for those of us who live there, and they have Pelican Point across the street and try to make a left turn now when we have all those cars coming from Pelican and the cars coming on Route 5, it's not as easy as it sounds. So just like to the committee to think about the overall evaluation on the neighborhood as a whole. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Vitiello. Yes, ma'am, over here on the right.
Hi, my name is Judy Iaquinto. I'm at 35023 Helmsman Way. I agree with many of the comments. This kind of came as a surprise. We all knew that, maybe someday Phase 7 was going to happen, whatever the plan was. My concern is that with this new plan, there's more open space. Does that open space become the responsibility of the homeowners when eventually our developer leaves and at some point, it's our financial responsibility and decision making. Does that become our responsibility? And if so, what's this open space going to look like? Is it going to be lawn that has to be mowed? Is it going to be grassland that's going to look terrible if it's not mowed? That's really my concern. You don't want this new section to all of a sudden look terrible. To Bishop's point, now the open space is my lawn. What's it going to be here? I don't know, and I didn't have any opportunity to find that out. So it's just
eventually it'll be yours.
It will. So what is it going to look like, and how do I find out?
Whatever your HOA decides.
Whatever, I'm sorry?
Whatever your HOA decides.
No. What is the builder going to leave this space?
Well, a big chunk of it's in woods. I mean, so it's in hardwood, softwood, wetlands. A big chunk of it's wooded. One of the principal purposes of the cluster ordinance was to preserve lands like that in an aggregate, instead of having lawns fragmented, was to preserve more condensed, solid pieces of open space.
So we're not going to just mow down all the trees like they've done everywhere else in the development?
That's the purpose. The other way, you would take more trees out, and so it was a combination. And to provide an incentive, they get some bonus density to save those natural resources.
And just for future reference, when there is something like this that happens, where's the opportunity for the existing homeowner to ask questions?
Right here. This is your best form, and then you have another shot at county council.
Okay.
Well, and the information's on the county website, and the file and everything else is always available at the Office of Planning and Zoning.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Can we go back to this side of the room? We'll get back there to you, this young lady here on the left. I try to move from front to back to encourage people to move closer. We like everybody in the front pew.
Good evening. My name is Margaret Patty. I live at 30850 Short Cove Court. My property, my husband and my property, we back up to that new section. I have to say that there are some things that have been presented this evening that seem to be positive. 60-foot of buffer. Our backyard is, you know, right now it's field and grass and whatever, and so 60-foot of buffer is very nice to think about that in the future. My concern, and I do agree with many of the comments that my other neighbors have made, my concern, however, is that, you know, talking about amenities, our clubhouse and our pool, you know, it's for 500, roughly, whatever the number ends up being, I don't know that those amenities really can really accommodate at all times all of those folks. Our little clubhouse, you know, the parking lot. So my concern is that there's, you know, a lot of things that are being presented this evening that are positive. However, the truth is, once the developers actually get in there and then the builders get in there, they don't always necessarily come through with what they might have initially promised. I lived in another neighborhood down here in Sussex County, and we were promised certain number of feet of buffering. That didn't happen, and you know, there's just some concerns that I have about this. And I guess the biggest question I have is, why do we need 100 homes versus 70? It's not going to be low interest housing. It's not going to be a 55 and older community that we probably need more of down here. So I can't say that I'm 100% supporting this. Thank you for listening.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. On this side of the room. Okay, yes, sir.
Yeah, my name is Mike Cunningham. I live at 30-31058 Beach Cove Drive, which is definitely impacted by the thing because I'm right next to the new development. The developer earlier today stated that he was going to put in a 60-foot buffer. A property plan that I made a copy of only shows a 50-foot buffer. Okay, so that's one of the questions that I had, you know, about what he says he's going to do and what the plot plan shows he was going to do. All right. The other question I had is, and it remits what she just said. The parking lot, okay, for the clubhouse is definitely not going to be able to support the number of people that we're going to be using the pool and or the clubhouse for various activities and stuff, okay? There's definitely not enough parking. People end up parking on the road and on the grass because there isn't any kind of a buffer off to the side, you know, to park on. So that's one of the problems that we have, you know, with the additional homes that he wants to build. Right. Thank you.
Thank you. Sir.
My name is Gregory Ryan. I'm at 24815 Rivers Edge Road, also in Stonewater Creek. I'm going to start by asking, the preliminary land use service, is that what this is exactly titled?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we're supposed to have known what was in our HOA and what was in our covenants, line number 7 says, equitable owner and developer, this person is required to attend the plus meeting. Name is Rob Allen. I do not see Rob Allen here.
This is not a plus meeting here.
Oh, that's why I asked you if it was. I misunderstood that. Okay. As what most of the people have said so far, the home values, Realtor.com. Well, we've all heard the phrase, everything on the internet, it's got to be true. Realtor.com does not necessarily mean it's true. And I'm sorry, I don't think the home values will stay the same. As for Pelican Point, those were originally supposed to be half-acre lots. The developer changed them to quarter acre. He got more land. He's made plenty of money. He doesn't need to add 30 more houses on our side to make just that much more and take away from what we have. People don't want to hear their neighbors flushing their toilets. I mean, pushing the houses that close together is what it's coming down to. As for the clubhouse and the parking, as everybody said, that clubhouse can hold maybe 75 people comfortably. We have over 400 houses now. You cannot park enough cars now for the pool, for the clubhouse, for the tennis court, for anything in both parking lots. There is more than one parking lot. There is not enough room for parking. There is not enough room for the amenities. The amenities are well below what they should have been when it was initially built. As for the roads, they're talking about putting roads in that are probably no wider than what we have now. I've been a volunteer fireman between New Jersey and here for over 40 years. Those roads with a landscaper parked on the roads are very unsafe. Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to be in an accident. A fire truck and or an ambulance ever needs to get in there for a serious situation. And they want to now add more roads that are still too narrow. Add the sidewalks, you're taking away from open space, you're causing flooding, and that's a whole other issue by itself because there is a drainage ditch that runs from Pelican Point to Holly Lake all the way through the community. The developer has promised time and time again to come in and clean that out. They came in last year, they did cut down some brush. They didn't clean it out, they just cut it down. So when it did rain and we did get flooding, it was pushed up to the bridges where the roads are and caused flooding. They promised this past April, in a meeting of the community, that they would come in and clean out that ditch. They have yet to do it. And it was supposed to happen 1 week after we had that meeting. They've yet to come through. My property, as well as my neighbors on either side and one or two down, have been promised for over 4 years to have them come in to the right-of-way behind our property and grade it the way it was never graded properly to drain into one of the storm management ponds. The developer has made promises at mostly every meeting I've been to and never once followed through on it. And if the developer is going to work that way with the community now and want to make more money on 30 more houses and 30 more properties, I think the developer should not only not get his 30 permits, he should lose permits from this point forward until he lives up to taking care of the community he has already added and put in. Because right now, we're not getting anything out of the developer. He had a road put in for the area that, you don't have it up right now, the area that's just now being developed, what they call the reserve. There was a road put in off of Route 5. We were told in the April meeting it was going to get paved. It did not get paved, and a few weeks later we got signs put up saying construction entrance. They're now driving in with the bigger trucks across the finished roads. The weight of those trucks on those roads is going to destroy them. They've got a gravel road built into that new development area, and I don't know what phase it's classified as. It's 6 or 6A or something like that, but they're going to destroy the roads. And they're just not, they don't care. You know, it's our roads now. We are responsible for them according to their HOA and their thing, and they want us to pay for their damage. We can't, we're not going to be able to afford that if they start coming in here and they haven't used their own construction entrance. You mentioned in several of the earlier proposals that were in here, a traffic impact study. Has he had one done? Because right now trying to get in and out of the community with 400 houses is very hard onto Route 5. Now you're going to add all the houses that are yet to be built in the current phase and phase 7, which will add another 100 houses, or he wants another 100 houses. Traffic will be a disaster. Somebody will die trying to get in and out of Pelican Point, trying to get in and out of Stonewater Creek, trying to get in and out of Cannon Road entrance. They need to do a traffic impact study as well to see if it's even viable to do more houses. Okay, and and another thing that came to the community about a couple of years ago was, you know, if you have an issue with your swales in front of your house, please sign a letter.
And sir, this is a subdivision application on this parcel.
Okay. It's points of the promises that the developer made has never lived up to.
Okay.
He never came back to look at the swales.
That's noted. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you for your time. And like I say, like you consider not allowing it.
Okay. Who's next? Anyone else? Yes, sir.
My name is Bob McDonald with 31277 Riverwood Road. A lot of the issues that I was going to bring up have already been brought up. My main concern with this development is the traffic that's coming out of Pelican Point across the 5, and what they're doing, the phases on the other side of Cannon Road, instead of coming out the Cannon Road and making a right-hand turn, they go through that development and come out onto 5. With that development there coming out onto right at Cannon Road, that amount of traffic, 100 houses back in there, is going to be flowing to a place that doesn't have a traffic signal. And Cannon Road is a major pass-through in this county going from over to Millsboro, the back way, to come through out to 5 and then onto Beaver Dam Road to get up that way. The amount of traffic that flows across that road, Greg said, there's going to be a nasty accident there. There's already been an accident outside of coming out of Stonewater Creek and coming out of Pelican Point. And the things that the developer was supposed to do, he's failed to do that in the 6 years that I've been there. And he makes promises. And Rob Allen, back in April, who worked for you, said in an HOA meeting, because we don't have a full HOA because we're not at 75%, stated that there was going to be 120 houses back in there. And this gentleman here mentioned the possibility of 120
houses. It's 100 on the application, and that's what it'd be restricted to. Yes,
right.
Sir.
So the 120 comes out of some number.
It's not on the application tonight.
Right. But there's still that issue of that traffic coming out of there. I mean, it's going to happen in here, in Sussex County.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Someone else in the back wanted to come up? Over here.
Good evening. My name is Milton Paulson. I live at 35036 Helmsman Way in Stonewater Creek. In the 4 years that I've lived in Stonewater Creek, Mr. Robertson, you hit the nail right on the head. The numbers don't match up. They've never matched up with this developer. Tonight's the first time in 4 years I see Mr. Mitchell here. It's usually Rob Allen, who signed the application, by the way. But that's not the case here. The case is that the sign was placed down at the sewer treatment plant, the notice of the public hearing, okay, and just by chance somebody mentioned it to me. But what? He wants to change it again? He's always changing things because the numbers never match up. Okay, he took the part of Pelican Point away. I'm not going to get into that. Everybody knows what happened there. He did nothing but increase his lots, increase his profits, which is fine. I mean, that's perfectly okay to make money. There's nothing wrong with that. But we weren't notified properly for this meeting, I don't believe. Okay? Otherwise, I believe there would be a whole lot more people here because this developer has promised us everything and given us nothing. I said to my wife last year, I built my home 4 years ago in there. I regret building my home there sometimes because of nonsense like this. He wants to put houses on top of each other where you can hear your neighbor flush their commode. That's ridiculous. That's not what I bought into. But I would appreciate if you would take into consideration moving, stalling this meeting and having another one where people could be properly notified. Yes, thank sir. You very much.
Thank you. We've already asked staff, and they've noted that this meeting, this public hearing, was properly advertised and noticed. Anyone else? Anyone on the commission have any questions? Ms. Walls?
None for me, thank you.
Mr. Whitehouse?
None, thank you.
Ms. Corwell?
None, thank you.
Mr. Robertson?
None at this point, no. Thanks.
Okay, we're going to close the public hearing. You're welcome to stay with us this evening and see if we make a decision or call the office in the morning. And guess what? We're not done. We still have a lot more work to do, so please leave quietly. Thank you.
You're welcome to stay, but if you choose to leave, we leave quietly.
Yeah, you can stay too. Yeah.
Throwing anybody out.
Yeah, no. We haven't done it yet, anyway. Our next public hearing, actually, we have two public hearings. And who's representing this application?
There is a request to combine the public hearings.
Yes, I want to make sure that we have a... Is there... I guess they're in the back waiting traffic to clear. Oh.
I think Mr. Dukes was waiting for folks to clear out a little bit.
Yeah. You didn't want to put your orange vest on, this young man that we've never seen before. Do you want to combine this public hearing, I take it?
We have a letter requesting
okay.
that.
That's correct.
Combining,
yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Robertson is getting paid by the hour, so he'd like four or five hearings.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're not, so we're going to combine them. So anyhow, just for the benefit of the public and the record, we have two applications, change zone number 1832 MDI Investment Group LLC. And also, we have a conditional use, number 2106, MDI Investments Group, LLC. They are two public hearings that we're going to combine into one, but there'll be two records and two votes on these issues. And Ms. Cornwell, if you don't mind reading them into the record.
Thank you. So the change of zone is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 6.86 acres, more or less. The property is located on the southeast side of Shady Road, approximately 130 feet northeast of Plantations Road. The 911 address is not available. The tax maps are District 334, Map 6, Parcel 511, and District 334, Map 6, Parcel 512. And the conditional use is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily units, 52 townhomes, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 6.86 acres, more or less. The property is located on the southeast side of Shady Road, approximately 130 feet northeast of Plantations Road. The 911 address is not available. The tax map is District 334, Map 6, Parcel 511 and 512. And staff would note for the record, there is a staff analysis for each application. There is an exhibit booklet. There is a results from the service level evaluation from DLDOT that did not require a GIS, and we have comments from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division regarding sewer capacity. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Hal Duke for the law firm of Tone Razor, and I'm here on behalf of the representation for MDI Investment Group, LLC. The owner of that investment group, or the figurehead, is Doug Comfer. If you'll stand up, please introduce himself.
Hi, I'm Doug Comfer, principal of MD1 Investment Group.
Doug is a local contractor, and he and his family live here in the area. He builds excellent middle-class homes. He's for working families. I've had the opportunity to represent many buyers for Mr. Comfort's company, and honestly, I can say to you, I have never had any follow-up issues with his product. I've never had a punch list issue. The family seemed to be happy, and he